As far as we can see, we're not taking any bets, just playing the house. Slashing the tires on the restricted ride that keeps us in the lane between the lanes. And we just never slow down. It doesn't even hurt when we hit the ground. We don't slow down for anyone who says it's so hard when you get old. We don't shop and taking chances, we double our romances. Got plenty of time for everyone. Sometimes we share, sometimes we're not there. Love is a drug for the young Americans. And we just never slow down. It doesn't even hurt when we hit the ground. We don't put on the brakes for anyone who says, oh, it's so hard when you get old. Just never slow down. It doesn't even hurt when we hit the ground. We don't slow down for anyone who says it's so hard when you get old. Annie is only 15 and a half. I'm just barely older than that. Stripping down naked behind the Hollywood Bowl. Stuffing our trunk with all the things that we stole. And we just never slow down. It doesn't even hurt when we hit the ground. We don't put on the brakes for anyone who says, oh, it's so hard when you get old.
And I thought that you were here with me, but I knew that it wasn't reality. Holding on to every day is tougher as time goes away. Trying not to let go of the feeling, but something always gets in the way. Like dreams that fall through the cracks, and friends who will never come back, and all of the strangers you see, and just how cruel they can be. And it's so hard to get by sometimes. It's just so hard to get by.
From his Crossing Dragon Bridge release, Steve Wynn, Annie and Me here on 88.3 FM WRCT. Before that, some requested Stranglers. Played the Stranglers from the 1977 album No More Heroes, bringing back a few memories. Something Better Change. John Auer of the Posies gave us Sundown Records. Started off that entire set. Starry Eyes. For you.
But we are seconds away from a Poison mock, which originally aired on WRCT back on July 24th of 2009. But first, this brief.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh. Thank you. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh. Thank you. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh. Thank you. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh. Thank you. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh. Thank you. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh. WRCT, Pittsburgh.
All right, I want to start with a correction today. I always strive for accuracy and precision and so on. Yesterday, in my discussion of the emails I had gotten about Kyle Rittenhouse's mom, Wendy Rittenhouse, some people saying, David, she's clearly cognitively disabled or delayed or whatever term you want to apply. I mentioned, in among many other things, that she's a nurse and has a certain level of education. She's not a nurse. She's a certified nursing assistant, a CNA. And is it clinical or certified? A CNA. It is not a nurse. So whatever inferences you, me, or anybody else makes, let's make them based on just the actual information. She's a CNA, not a nurse. Doesn't necessarily change my analysis. Okay, let's get on to the news. We have seen now the signing into law of the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that we discussed last week. Again, for context, this was a very big bill that became smaller and smaller and smaller, down to $1.2 trillion, with only $550 billion of the $1.2 trillion actually being new spending for new projects, which we will talk about in a moment. Big signing ceremony on the White House lawn. Joe Biden could have signed it earlier, but he wanted to do a White House lawn event with a bipartisan group of elected officials because, yes, remember, there were some Republicans who voted for this bill, much to the chagrin of the Trump Republicans, who immediately started saying, let's get rid of all of those Republicans who crossed party lines to vote in favor of the infrastructure bill. They had a brass band. They had speeches. The Associated Press called them peppy speeches, and Joe Biden signed the bill into law. Now we're going to go over the final version of what's in the bill. But the big picture here is that this entire escapade is a humiliation. And what I mean by that is the stuff we're spending money on in this infrastructure bill should be obvious. We all agree. We just do this stuff. We're a wealthy, developed nation. We have the money. We do.
We own and your soul is next.
We don't actually have the legal documentation to back that up.
Welcome, everybody. Hope everybody's weekends are looking good. Last weekend before Thanksgiving, as a reminder, we're going to be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, and we will be off Thursday and Friday for the Thanksgiving holiday. A few stories I want to go over with you today. You might remember that the day after, maybe it was 2 days after the elections in early November, we learned that the 17-year-old son of the Republican Virginia governor-elect Glenn Youngkin tried to vote two times. Two times he tried to vote, despite being over only 17 years old. Well, finally, Glenn Youngkin has been asked about this, and Glenn Youngkin's reaction is to be upset that the media is focused on what his son did, saying it's really no big deal. And it's sort of unclear if 17-year-olds can vote. No, it's not. So this is Glenn Youngkin's reaction. He doesn't like the fact that people care about the fact that his son tried to vote illegally.
There are reports that your son tried to vote in this election. Could you explain that?
Yeah, it was silliness, I think. There's real confusion on where a 17-year-old can vote or not. And so he had a friend who suggested that he might be able to vote. He went up and asked. I know my son really was an incredibly respectful young man.
Yeah.
And he presented his ID, and when they said he couldn't vote, he said okay, and he went to school. So I am a little bit frustrated that it's become, you know, the media paid so much attention to it. It's my 17-year-old son, and I really would like everybody to leave my family alone.
Yeah. So Let's see if we can break that down. First of all, he tried it twice. He tried it twice, not once. So it's not just, well, you know, he just said, hey, would you let me vote? And no, oh, well, let me try another place and see if they'll let me vote. There is no confusion about whether 17-year-olds can vote. You have to be 18 in order to vote. Now, there's one caveat. It's not even a caveat many people know about, which is if you will be 18 at the time of a general election, I think it's in many states, maybe it's a federal rule, you can vote at 17 in the primary. So imagine I'm 17-year-old David Pakman at the time of the primary, but at the time of the general, I will be 18. I'd be allowed to vote in a primary. Even if he was confused, they clarified it for him the first time he tried to vote. So then the second time was what? What are we supposed to believe about the second time? And of course, guys, if Glenn Youngkin's son could legally vote, obviously he would know that and his dad would be saying, all of us are voting for me, obviously. Maybe they would have even done it together for the photo op opportunity. Like the idea that it wasn't discussed in the family, or it wouldn't have been if he was old enough to vote. I'm counting on your vote, son. Are there 17-year-olds in this country that don't know that? I knew from age 7 that you have to be 18 to vote in the United States. If you surveyed 17-year-olds in high schools nationwide, what percentage do you think knows that you have to be 18 to vote? It's a very high number. We have an ignorant country in many ways, but just about every high schooler knows you got to be 18 to vote. And just imagine for a second what right-wing media would be doing if it was Terry McAuliffe's 17-year-old son or daughter who had tried twice to vote in an election that their dad was running. And it's absolutely outrageous. Speaking of outrageous, folks, this cannot be right. This can't possibly be. It is. A Trump advisor, lawyer who was involved in the effort to try to change the election results by pressuring Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, she has now been appointed to a federal election panel. It is what it is. Trump advisor appointed to panel on U.S. elections, writes the Associated Press.